Unit 3. Freedom-fighting teenager makes history. Page 44. Part 1. Access to information from written texts. Read the article below and then answer questions 1 to 7.
It is true that when we talk about teens and freedom, we often think about the freedom to dress as you please or to set your own curfew. Yet for one American teenager in the 1960s, freedom meant something entirely different. In the late 1960s, Mary Beth Tinker was a typical American teenager. She lived with her family in Des Moines, Iowa, went to a public school, and cared about the things most teenagers cared about: school, and boys, and clothes, and hanging out with friends. However, Mary Beth cared about something else, too. America's growing military involvement in a country called Vietnam, thousands of miles away from Iowa. To show everyone how she felt, and with the support of her parents, Mary came to school one day wearing a black armband. The school disapproved of Mary's demonstration of her anti-war beliefs in this manner, and called the armband a disturbing influence. They refused to allow her to wear the armband, and Mary Beth was suspended from school. Then, several other students, including Mary's brother, John, decided to demonstrate that they were not afraid of standing up for their beliefs. They too decided to wear armbands to school. They too were suspended. At this point, the Tinker family got a lawyer, but the school board stood firm and insisted on keeping the ban on armbands in place. The family then took the case to the district court, claiming that by not allowing students to wear armbands, the school was violating their right to freedom of expression, a right guaranteed by the Bill of Rights, which states that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. The district court ruled against the Tinkers, saying that while the wearing of an armband was, in fact, a form of speech, called symbolic speech, it could disrupt learning. The court further stated that learning without disruption was more important than the students' right to free expression. So Mary and the other students returned to school, trading their armbands for black clothing to show their anti-war sentiments. The case did not die after the district court ruling, however. The Tinkers appealed the decision, and the case moved through the court system all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. In its historic 1969 ruling, the court said that neither teachers nor students shed their constitutional rights to freedom of expression or speech at the schoolhouse gate. Mary Beth had won her case. Since then, the courts have ruled on other issues related to students' rights. These include allowing school officials to censor school newspapers and to randomly test high school athletes for drug use, as well as allowing the police to search a student's locker if they suspect that he is involved in some kind of illegal activity. All of these in some way violate students' constitutional rights. There are two major reasons why such violations are legally permitted to happen. The first reason relates to the role of the school and can be summed up in one Latin phrase, in loco parentis. What this basically means is that while the student is in school, it is the school's right and duty to act as his parent. That is, when a parent sends a child to school, he delegates responsibility for the child's health, safety, and welfare to the school, and the school is expected to act in the same way a reasonable parent would. The second reason relates to the goal of the school, which is to educate. If a student's behavior is considered disruptive and interferes with this goal, then the school can act to stop it.